Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How's everybody doing today? We thank God for another day to share His word with you. And today we're talking about help. Can you, or where do you go for help? If you're sick, who do you go for to pray with you, pray for you? If you need financial help, where do you go? And questions have been coming to us this week on people who have not been properly taken care of in the body, where they have not been looked after. And have you ever been in that boat? Been in that boat where you've had a bill, you were sick, you needed some counseling, you couldn't get it, or you needed some food? Has that been the case? Far too many people have been in that boat, and they blame God for that. Now, how come God he didn't take care of me? How come God didn't do this? Now, a lot of times we will use as a backdrop first three chapters of Genesis. A lot of times that will solve a lot of people's problems. And today we're going to go over to the book of Acts, chapter 6. I mean, y'all say you have gone and said, we don't do that. You know, you have been in church for 5-10 years, and you've tithed, you've given offerings, gifts of love, and for whatever reason, you needed some help and you didn't, that we don't do that, or you had to jump through some hoops. You know, and I tell people, did you have to jump through hoops when they took your money? And said, don't confuse God, the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, and people really follow Jesus with people who don't, and churches don't, and ministries don't. We have chapter 6 of the book of Acts. In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And this chapter 6, this ain't too far from they all had all things common, and they may have had a problem because they weren't Jews, you know, like dealing with how they dealt with the Samaritans, and, you know, we still have those type of problems with us now, you know. It's color of skin, you know, type of house you live in or car you drive, or the lack thereof. Said, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples and said, it is not reasonable we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brothers, look you among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom we appoint over this business. You see, this is where the ministry of the deacons came into position. But look what it says. Among you, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, these days and time, reputation and money, people, is the best people get as being deacons. Honest report. You know, not only in the church, but outside the church. You know. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That's the qualification. Well, those qualifications for a minister. It's somebody you want to listen to. And far too many times, we've counseled people, prayed with people, have been in this position of lack. They have been in churches and ministries that could care less about them. They just got their hand out, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all your money. And they never supposed that would take place with them, that you overlook. It's kind of like when men and women, they're looking for a mate, and things they will overlook. And then, oh, I never seen. Yes, you just paid, don't pay no attention to it. Oh, I didn't know he didn't have a job, you know. I didn't know she couldn't cook. You know? All these types of things people overlook. And they say, oh, man, I was con, I was bamboozled, I was tricked, you know. And that can happen too, but it's like so many times you overlook. You don't pay any attention to it. Any attention to the church. It may be because the worship team, you like that, or the teaching. See, everything is all in all with God. He doesn't give you one thing and take something from you on the other side of the coin. You know, he is a complete package. And ministries should be a complete package. Churches should be a complete package. You should be a complete package. You know, what's the word they teach? Accountability and being able to determine your growth. And far too many times we run into people, they have been in places 5, 10 years and they have not grown. They don't know the basic principles of the Word of God that will get them from point A to point B on a daily basis. They can tell you far more things about heaven than they can tell you about living on this earth. And well, you know, I've worked for this church and I've given money, and you never seen people that they didn't take care of. I remember hearing a lady's testimony that she worked in HR for a company, and her job was to cut costs, you know, and usually that had to do with people's benefits. And so it dawned on her one day, well, I'm doing this. One of these days, I'm going to be in the same position. They will have no more need of me. And that's just like you get what you plant. If you're involved in a thing that does not take care of people, don't visit people when they're sick, you know, people shut in, whether it's, you know, for a day or a long sickness, they're not there. I can tell you a story personally. One of my aunts, she was out of the hospital, took her home. Knock comes on her door. Oh, hello, we, you know, from your aunt's church, we come up to pick up her tithes and offerings. I said, not today, you don't. You know, excuse me. I said, well, man, she just got out of the hospital. You guys weren't there. Wasn't there before she went to pray for her. You know, weren't there afterwards. Now you come here looking for money. They went away sad and empty-handed. I started going to church, and she had gone there for years. But see, it never depends. You know, it's like if you just come to find out that your spare tire works when you have a flat, you're in serious trouble. And so many times, what is the testimony of your church? Because a lot of times people, they want to invite people, you know, they say, oh, you know, come to over my church. And people here, they say, no, thank you. Not even for a visit. You know, no problem visiting churches and stuff like that. But it's like you never visit the devil's house. Because then he's going to offer you his food and his drink. Like I said, if your life is not improved by going there, why do you think I want to hang out with them? I remember hearing a story a long time ago when I was a young Christian about people, they would invite people to church. And they said, why should I go down there and listen to an amateur? I'm a professional con man. Person down there is an amateur. And see, it is quite funny that somebody that doesn't know God can spot a fake. And the people that know God don't. Jesus said, the kids of this world are wiser than the kids of the kingdom. Why? Because they cannot discern that somebody is not for them. And say, folks, don't get mad at them you know, get mad at yourself. You know, you learn the lesson. Because even God, you know, God is loves them. Amen. Get out of the business. If this is what you do with my people, then you better get out while you can. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You didn't have the knowledge, and these people weren't for you. They were against you. You know, just like Jesus dealing with the scribes and Pharisees, they weren't for anybody except for themselves. You know, and we've talked about God is for the orphans, the widows, and the poor. After them. And that's a place that you really have to be in, that you know God, that you're in a position to bless somebody. We're blessed to be a blessing. And far too many believers are in that position. And one reason is that you don't know that you're blessed. Because far too many times, I need a blessing. Well, where are you going to get it from? I'm going to get it from God. Well, God said he's already blessed you. What do you mean God said he's already blessed me? I don't see it. See, you got to believe it. See, just like how you got saved, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. You don't see nothing, you don't hear nothing, you don't feel nothing. Why? You receive it by faith. Well, you receive your blessings by faith. They're there. All the things that you need are inside you right now. And see, that's what ministry is about, is helping you pull that out of here. What Jesus said, out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. You have tremendous potential on the inside of you. No different than when Adam was in the garden. God brought the animals to him, and he named them. He did not say, well, God, what do you want me to name this? He had the responsibility of naming the animals. And far too many times, we want to pass our responsibility that God has given us on to him. And a lot of churches and ministers and ministries do the same thing. See, you never know that. That's why you got to come here. See, that's why you need me in your life, attitude. To where people will set, like I said, be there 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and you've never led anybody to the Lord. Not that you can't, it's that you've never been taught how. And see, you look through the Gospels, and you see how Jesus operated with those disciples. He took them out on a learning course, showed them what to do. He demonstrated how to do it. He said, now go. See, they didn't go out trying to do no fishing like Peter and them tried. They went out and demonstrated what Jesus taught them to do. And see, can you do that? And most believers that we run into cannot. Not that they don't have the ability. The potential is inside of them. But they have never had the opportunity to watch somebody do it and to practice and to demonstrate. It's kind of like people who live on welfare. They have the potential of being off of it. But as long as somebody's got that bottle in their mouth, they're going to stay there. They're not going to move. And see, with God, you got to grow. Because if not, you will still be held accountable why you didn't grow. There will come a time in everybody's life, especially those who you have gotten the teaching of how to lead somebody to the Lord, you will be held accountable for you never led to the Lord. You will be accountable with your family. Oh, my kids are running amok. Pray for them. Pray for them, kids. Pray yourself, you lazy thing. And people look at you real strange. And like I said, I don't say that to be hard. I say that to wake them up. Because it's an attitude and with a lot of Christians, I don't have enough faith. Yes, you do. It's a gift from God. He gave you his faith. His faith fails not. All things are possible to him that believes. Jesus believes. He believes that what he did on the cross paid your debt. Do you agree with that? And that's the first place, you know, people, they want to win the world. They can't even win their own family. You know, like I said, kids throw them up, and they don't even have control in their own house. To where I remember years ago that I was invited to a Christmas pageant, and this man, daughter was coughing. I guess she was about 20 years old. She was coughing. The house we left, went to church. She coughed. She coughed in church. She coughed in the car. She coughed at dinner. And I was leaving. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, what did I do wrong? And see, that's the mentality with a lot of people. You only pray for people if there's something wrong. So, no, you knew that. I just seen you coughing. It's like, pray for you. And pray for it and left. Now, the next day, her father called me. He said, you know she stopped coughing after you prayed for her? I said, you should be able to do that. You're the head of your house. I said, can your pastor do that? He said, my pastor's not. I said, I didn't ask you that. I said, can your pastor lay hands on the sick and they recover? Then why are you there? Why are you there? What can your pastor teach you if they don't teach you the word of God? And a year later, this man's life fell upside down by going to that church. See, it's just, folks, I remember telling a man he had bad employees. And he had an old car, and he worked on the car constantly, make the car work right. And he said, oh, man, these guys, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. And I gave him a question. I said, now, you know, you got that old car. You have no problem pulling a bad spark plug out of their car and putting a new one in. You know? I said, you think about that with your business. You know? If something is not working, you change it. If, like I said, and this is the thing, folks, like I said, we're going through the New Testament now in the month, and about the Word of God. These things, when I'm reading, like over here in Acts 6, these things should be taking place in your life. If they're not, something's amiss. Something is amiss in your life. Ain't saying that God doesn't love you and you don't love God. But he said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I didn't come that you just be hanging out, you know, waiting for me to come back and get you. You know, you've got a job to do. He's giving you a talent. You know, like he gave the parable about the talents. And he said he gave every man according to his ability. See, he's not going to give you more than your ability. He's going to give you what is in your potential. Only the manufacturer knows what the potential of the product is. Everybody else is just guessing. Like somebody tell you, you'll never amount to anything. Just laugh. They don't know me. You're not my manufacturer. You're not my maker. Only thing you're doing is guessing. See, but then you got to know in who you believe. You got to know that you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's how precious you are. That's what it costs to get you back. That's how much God loves you. And like I said, if there's one, do you know that God loves you? If you don't, go back into our archives and listen to the teaching on how much God loves you. Because we were amazed to find out how many people did not believe that God loved them because they had a performance mentality. See, well, if I do this, then God will love me. Like, you know, like how a lot of parents are. When the kids do good, then they love the parents. The kids do bad, you know, it's, you know, woe is them type of attitude. But God so loved the world. The world wasn't looking for God. God, what, nobody in the world was saved. The Bible says Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. Like when Adam sins, it's not the attitude, well, you know, you got into that mess, you get out yourself. See, God knew he couldn't get out of it. And knows that we couldn't get out of it. He's dealt with the sin problem. He doesn't have a problem with sin. He has a problem with sin. You know, and God is not mad that people who are not saved, God's not mad that he loves you. Ain't about how many times you go to church and how much money you give and all that kind of stuff. That ain't why he loves you. You know? And there's only one sin that the Holy Spirit will convict you of. It's not making Jesus the Lord of your life. See, because you think about something. You're already in the devil's trap. You know, like you're already sinking your boat, sinking your houses on fire. You know? And you need rescue. It ain't about you giving money. It's not about you praying. It's not about you being in church. You know, none of that is going to get you out of the boat. You need to get out of the boat, out of the building, and off the plane. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to perish. And see, that's how the thieves on the cross with Jesus, one was on the left, and the thief on the right, he made a decision for Jesus, and the thief on the left didn't. See, the thief on the left did not get off of the boat. It was sinking. That was the only way he was going to get off that boat was Jesus, the life saver. He should have thought like those four leprous men over the Book of Kings, why sit here until we die? See, because like I said, if I stay on this cross, I'm going to die. If I stay here, I'm going to die. No doubt about it, I'm going to die staying on this cross. But he didn't take it. Just like now, we give you the opportunity. Anybody that doesn't know Jesus, you know, you can make him your Lord and Savior today. You can escape the trap the devil has got you in. Just pray this prayer with us. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, and I believe in my heart you were raised from the dead. Thank you for giving me a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer, drop a little note off to Eagles of Prayer Ministries, P.O. Box 3024, Gaithersburg, Maryland, 20885. And we'll send you out some free study material to help you in newfound faith in Christ. Send you prayer requests, comments, questions, anything we can help you with. Because God don't want you to go without and have this woe is me type that, and God doesn't love me and all this kind of stuff. You have run into people that don't care about you. Would you listen to somebody who is caring about you? Why? Because God loves me. Love of God has shed abroad in my heart, and I'm sharing it. And I have been in that predicament where needed help and couldn't find none. Who people said they were Christians. But they refused to act on God's word, what he said to do. Excuse me. I remember hearing a testimony of a pastor years ago. And said his wife and they had a little apartment. And he believed God for a nice house and a nice car. And so people started leaving church. He couldn't figure out why. And, you know, so we just can't know about this. And he said, you know, I didn't steal any church money. And, Lord, what's wrong? He said, you told them to be like that. They ain't supposed to have nothing, be nothing, and here, you got it. He said, can I retrain them? He said, that's what people just need, retraining. How much God loves them, how much God wants to bless. Because you can't bless anybody if you ain't blessed. Amen? You got to be in a position. And God has already put you in that position, but you don't know it. You don't know the potential. That's like you have a high-performance automobile and you're only driving 25 miles an hour and car can run 200 miles an hour. You don't know the potential. So you will abuse it. And your life is being abused. And God wants to change that. Amen? God bless you. Have a great night. And remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll see you. Bye-bye.